Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from City Harvest Church, Orange County. To find out more information about City Harvest, please visit chcus.org. You can also follow us on your favorite social media platform by typing in CHCUS.
All right, so listen, let's get into the Word of God because I don't want to take up too much time. I want to be able to share this. Now, let me tell you about this particular message. Preachers don't deliver things until they're kind of mastered them in their own life or they're actually producing. And so that's what the good preachers do. Come on, amen. Other guys just grab stuff and re-preach it. But sometimes you got to, you know, release things because you feel the mandate of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, this is something I'll take you into of my own private devotions right now about what God is doing and what he's speaking right now. Now, we're going to cover a topic that you have to be careful when you hear. Right? It's like when guys get up and preach on faith, everyone's like, oh, I heard that. Yeah, I get it, right? And it comes preloaded with things, and you're not letting your understanding evolve and grow about a topic because you're already locked into a certain idea, and you don't allow the Holy Spirit to bring things. It's like the old days, right? You know, we're not using leeches anymore to cure common colds. Come on, amen? Some of y'all looking at me like, you still using them. Stop using them. We got Benadryl now. Come on, and other stuff. Right? So we don't want to come preloaded with an idea. And when we talk about the topic of grace, like we're going to today, it comes preloaded in some people's understanding. They think they know what grace is and that they're operating in it. But allow the Holy Spirit to bring you into something. And this has come out of my own personal time with the Lord. I want to share this with you. Now, before we get going, I want to explain the concept of grace to you so you understand. Because many people think it's something that they need to pray for. Let me pray for grace. And we ask people, pray for me that God will give me more grace. And this is a wrong concept to begin with of the grace of God. It is not something you need to obtain because you're in Christ. So let me ask you this. If a fish, and we put a fish into the ocean, okay? When the fish is in the ocean provides, right? The oxygen, come on. The fish don't have to pray for oxygen. It's in the water. Come on, amen. It doesn't pray for food. The food just comes. Come on, amen? And because it's in its place. It's in the ocean. And you are in Christ. Swimming around. Just keep swimming. Come on, amen? And grace is in him. And so your access to grace is never the problem. Never the problem. Because you're in Christ. And because you're in him, this is what Acts 17:28 says. For in him we live and move and have our existence. Come on, amen. So everything that's in Christ is in you because you're in him. So that means that there is no lack of the grace of God. That means very powerfully, you don't need to pray for grace. You need to receive grace. This is a common mistake. People say, pray for me. I need more grace. And the reason why we say that is because we mix up. We don't know the difference between grace and mercy. It's two different things. But when people say grace, what they're really meaning is mercy. Oh, and the mercy of God, the eleos, the Greek word for grace or for mercy, is the goodness of God. It's the manifested goodness. It's the joy of the Lord that comes to us. It's the mercy of God is the kindness of the Lord. Come on, amen. When we're making mistakes, we feel his mercy. The Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. That means when you get up, God has given you more mercy. And it's the mercy of God when we say grace. We say, well, that brother's going through something. He needs a lot of grace right now. What he needs is mercy. Yeah. And we tell people, have grace for me. And what they're really saying is, have mercy for me because I need the goodness of God in my life. I need to know that God loves me and God's with me. But once you have mercy, then what? Because there's a powerful thing we must understand. Mercy is from God, but it does not have the power to transform your life. It's not designed to do that. So we live by mercy all the time. God, have mercy on me. I'm having a rough day. And I don't want to lose it on these people. Oh, yeah. Come on. Amen. Don't look at me those nice Christian faces. Come on. We live by mercy. But the grace Through faith we are saved, and so we need the grace of God. And so we must have a proper working definition. Come on, amen? Yeah. Because many times we think that grace is letting people go and going, oh, well, they're going to be okay. God will have grace for them and their struggle and their problem. And we talk about not judging people when we talk about grace. That's not what it means. But the grace of God, very simply, is the power of God released from him into your life in order to transform your life. Grace has a very specific purpose. It's not there to hold you up and so you can make it. It's not there to sustain you through tough times. It has one purpose: transformation. This is why it's so important for us as believers to embrace and allow the grace of God into our life and understand there is nothing between you and God's grace. You're swimming in it. But grace has to manifest in our life in different ways. Because if we're only looking for one type of grace, and that's the first type we're talking about, which is saving grace. Amen? The grace of salvation. The grace of salvation is very important, but many times we don't understand how this grace works, all right? Because we think the grace of salvation is just to save you from hell. I got my fire insurance policy. Come on, amen. I'm not going to burn. And so you hear that many times in people's testimonies. They always talk, it's how you know they're not walking in the fullness of the grace of salvation. It's because they're always talking about what God rescued them from, but never what God has brought them into. So the whole testimony is like, I used to be on drugs, I used to be on this, I used to be this, I used to be find love in the back seat of a car, and then I found Jesus. And then what happened? Because the grace of salvation is explained to us very, very simply as this. Look at this. This is going to knock your hat in the water, right? Come on. 1 Peter 2:9. For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, right? Come on. A peculiar people. That means that the world is not supposed to understand you because you're saved. You're a peculiar people that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into. So the problem is that you have grace to come out, but you also have grace to come into. This is the problem. Many people come out of darkness. Come on. God saved you, rescued you, but you won't come into the light. And that's reflected in the struggle that many times comes up and why we feel at times we're not saved. And it's not that you're not saved, it's that you've come out of darkness, but you haven't come into the light. And there's grace for that. I remember when I was first saved, right? I said to the first service, oh my goodness. We came out of darkness. Come on, amen. It's a citizenship change, right? Come on. We came out of darkness, but we didn't quite come in yet to the light. And so we drive in the church. I had a good friend of mine. We laughed about this at this 50th birthday party because we had so many people that knew us back then. And they were like, well, y'all, they were Christians before us. And they're like, oh, y'all were a handful when you got saved. Because we didn't know nothing. Come on, amen. So we ride in the church listening to, you know, gangster rap. Come on, NWA. We're on our way to church. F the police. And, you know, we're like, oh, my God. And we just walk in. Hallelujah. Dancing, back in the car. It was unbelievable. Why? What? Because we come out, but we didn't come in yet. Yeah. We had grace to come out, but the grace of salvation is not just to bring you out, it's to bring you into the light, into the lifestyle of light, into the kingdom of God. And many times this is what people struggle because your citizen, just a salvation, the grace of it is a citizenship change, right? Yeah. So you were a citizen, you are under the jurisdiction, and that word jurisdiction means the laws that speak. And so you're under the laws of the darkness, so those laws spoke to you. But now you're in the kingdom of darkness and no longer do the kingdom of or kingdom of light, so no longer your kingdom of darkness laws speak to you. I'm not under the jurisdiction, so the laws of darkness do not speak to me anymore. Jurisdiction, laws that diction speak. They don't speak to me. I'm not under the devil's laws anymore. And so if there's a struggle, It's because I haven't come out and I haven't gone in. There's grace not just to bring you out of darkness, but there's grace to bring you into the light, to walk in the light. You shouldn't feel the laws of God. The devil can talk all he wants to. He does, but I'm not under his jurisdiction. I have diplomatic immunity. Amen. They go to countries, I'm always looking at those guys in the diplomat line. I'm thinking, good Lord, they can do whatever they want in this country. They can do anything, and they can't touch them, right? But me, I got to get a stamp on my passport and on my visa. The fine print says, you under the jurisdiction of this country now, and you must come under its laws. So if I break the law, I can't go, well, I'm American. They're going to go, so what? Get in jail. You got the chop in your passport. That means you coming under. Amen. But not us. Amen. So even if we are wrong and we do something wrong, we're not under his laws. There's no conviction, no condemnation. Right? Come on. Amen. And this is how you know you've come in, because you don't feel the condemnation anymore. Yeah. Children of Israel, you think about this? 40 years in the wilderness. Come up, and then God finally said, no more. I'm going to let y'all die. Why 40? Why not 7? Come on, God knew they wasn't going to do it. Amen. Why not 10? Why not 15? Why not 20? Why 40? Because 40 is the number of fullness. So God's like, I'm done. I'm full now. Y'all aren't going to get the grace. You're not going to come in. So I got to let y'all die off, and I got to wait for another generation that's willing to take hold of my grace. We cannot live by mercy and live by the grace of salvation. You have to choose one. The grace of salvation is not just to save you, but it's to bring you out and to bring you in. What are you coming into? Coming into a new jurisdiction, coming into the life of God. You're coming into his marvelous light. Come on, amen. Yeah. And then God releases to us after the grace of salvation. He gives us the grace of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says it like this. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, we think this means to restore to relationship, and that's part of it, but that's a low level understanding, because you're restored to relationship through salvation. So it can't be reconciliation, can't mean God just restores you to relationship. You're already restored when you get saved. So what does this mean? This is an accounting term to reconcile the books. We do it all the time, where we have to take all these receipts and we have to put the expenses in the proper place. So what God is wanting to do when he releases the grace of reconciliation is restore you to your place in the body of Christ. What's your place? Where do you belong? If you don't operate in the grace of reconciliation, you will wander through this life with no purpose or reason. You will keep taking college courses until you're 40-year-old in college, trying to find your place. And there's grace that God gives to the believer to be reconciled to the place they're supposed to be in the body of Christ. Oh, but you can't put a square peg in a round hole, can you? You can keep jamming it in there. Come on, amen. But at some point, you're going to have to get the sandpaper out. Come on. Smooth off your edges so you can fit in the place that God has ordained for you. What does the word of God teach us? Isaiah 63, right? Come on. Before I formed you in your mama's belly, I knew you, right? Come on, amen. And ordained you. That word ordained means to license or to give power to do something. It's the word, same word that we use for clergy. And all of us are clergy. Come on, amen. We have a place and a position in the body of Christ that only you can fill. So what does God do? He doesn't want you wandering around. People come to me all the time and they say, Pastor Troy, I don't know what I'm called to do. I don't know what my, like, can you pray for me, Pastor Troy? But there's grace for you to figure this out. But the problem isn't that there's no power for you to come into it. The problem is you won't allow God's sandpaper to smooth you out so you fit. Come on now, I'm preaching to myself now. Come on, amen. You ever get this sense at times in your life that there's another level out there for you? You feel it, you're dissatisfied. That's the grace of reconciliation trying to move you into your proper place. This is not it. There's another level for you. And that grace comes on our life and it brings an uneasiness to where we're at, where we get, everything was fine. Why do I feel like this now? I just came from somewhere that reminded you, or you saw something or you read something that reminded you that there's more for you out there. So don't go grab a self-help book. Come on, amen. Or take another college course. Nothing wrong with going to school and reading books, but that's not the point. The point is you won't walk in the grace of reconciliation. God has released it. You're swimming in it to be able to find your place. But the rebellion in our hearts says, I don't want to change in order to fit into it. But there's grace for you to change. I meet a lot of people that have given up on any kind of purpose in their life. They're like, I'm just going to focus on my children. Or they say this, I'm going to focus on my career. And I'm like, well, good luck. Because those things don't have the proper power to bring you into the place that God has ordained for you. You must allow the grace of reconciliation to come into your life. He's trying to reconcile you to the right level, the right place. Why does the Bible say that? It says, don't forsake the assembling, right? And that's not about church. Come on, we think it's about church. But the body of Christ must be assembled if we're going to walk and take the earth and do what God calls. Everyone has to be. If a joint is missing, then the hand don't work right. We gotta get into our proper place. And so God doesn't just leave you where you're at floundering. He gives you the grace of reconciliation to help you get into the place, the level, whatever you want to call it. Come on, amen? Because y'all know there's a whole nother level out there. Not another. Come on, amen. Whole nother level out there for you. Don't just pray about that. There's grace for that. Power from heaven to bring you and reconcile you to the place you're supposed to be so that you can display the nature and the true character, uniqueness of God. Every one of us has such a uniqueness about us that God wants to shine through, because God's character is so many faceted that not one of us can display it all. Come on, amen. I can't do what Carlos can do. I can't do what the great couples like this can do. I can't do what Tim can do, you know? Sophia, I can't sing like her. I can't display that. I can't be like Sean with his patience and teaching gift to people. You know, there's different things. Everyone has characteristics of the Lord that he's trying to reconcile in you. Because your uniqueness is where your power is. And you trying to be like so-and-so, like some influencer on Instagram. And I just want to model my life after them and do what they're doing. And so let me take their course. And you're missing the point is that there is power for you to come into what you're supposed to be doing. It's the grace of reconciliation. Don't give up on yourself. Amen. And the next one is very powerful too. The grace of confirmation. This is a little different than we think, because the word confirm is also the word conform. God gives us the grace to be conformed, right? Amen? Yeah. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, the word confirmation is why this gets confusing, because in our evangelical churches, we don't do this. It's in the Catholic church where, you know, the little girls, 9-year-old, come on. They get a little white dress, and a whole family comes for her confirmation into the church, which means she's becoming an official member of the Catholic Church, and that's not how it works. Amen. And so this is not about church membership or God confirming you as a son or a daughter, because that's what we think. We think, oh, I want the God confirm me. But he confirms you through his love and salvation. Come on, amen. You're one of us now. Come on, if you're a believer in here, you're one of us. Amen. So, but conformed, to be conformed, that's completely different. I don't want to go into because what a great message we've taught on confirmation, right? Being conformed to the image and likeness. Image is one thing, likeness is another thing. Come on, amen. And me and us Christians, we've got the image down. Come on. Yeah. Hey, Lord, I travel all over the world. I can always spot the Christians. Come on. Right? Just listen. You hear it in the voice. How are you doing? Blessed, highly favored. Who else says that? Even at the workplace, we talk in that language. Everyone's like, "What? Highly favored? Who you got? You in with the boss somehow? What's going on?" What? That's our language, right? And so we're the image part. We got down. We know, you know, what to say, how to do things. It's the nature, and the world sees that, and they can spot it right away. But the nature, the likeness, is not important. The Christians have gotten that down for years. And people act like, oh, we want to stand out. And how do we stand out? It's not our character. It's just the likeness. We are different in the way we dress and the way we act around things. But in our hearts, the likeness of God is the conforming to his image and his likeness. Now, the image part is easy. The likeness part, to be like him, that's a different story. We talked about it's like a coin being poured in the coin mold and the hammer or the die striking that coin and putting the image on there. That striking is what the grace does in our life. And then you can see the image. Come on, Abraham Lincoln's on there or on the penny, right? Because if someone struck that and it's like, oh, that's Lincoln, right? And so what is that? The image of God or the likeness of God is when we allow the Holy Spirit to pour us into that kind of a mold and then to strike us. Ooh, the striking part is like, makes you uncomfortable. Amen. So we cry out to the Lord, right? Oh, mold me, shape me, Lord, into you. I want to be like you, Jesus. And he's like, okay, I got to heat things up. There's grace. There's power for you to go through that. Don't run from it. This is the issue, is that we forget that whenever we're going through something and it's working in our life in a deep level and it's difficult, we don't understand the way through that is not to go, I don't want anything to do with that. That can't be God because this doesn't feel like love to me. It doesn't feel like the Lord is on my pastor correcting me or my someone authority working in my life. I don't like the way that feels. I feel small. I feel like they're being mean. And you run from the very thing that God has designed in your life to bring about his likeness and his character. And so you're not conformed. And because the grace is not penetrating our life, it's not that it's not there. It's that we're not penetrating. We'll talk about why that happens later in a second here, okay? So we cannot be assembled, we cannot come into the fullness of God, into the kingdom, right? Because we won't allow those graces to work in our life. And God says this is very important, all right? We talk about the grace of confirmation. We're talking about Romans 8, 29 as well. For whom the Lord did foreknow, come on. He also did predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Ooh. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, when this word conform to the image of his son, that is talking about Jesus being the standard bearer for your life. You ever notice how there's no standards anymore for anything? People do whatever they want. Because this is what the world, how the world thinks is, there's no standard but me. So I'm going to set the standard and I'm going to define what the standard is. Now here's the problem when you are the standard bearer for yourself and you don't allow God to be your standard bearer, is you will always keep lowering the standard to fit your flesh and you. Until the standard is so ridiculous and so chaotic. And people do it all the time. They say, well, I don't like that. That's my standard speaking. And so let's take something as simple as forgiveness. So, right, people have a standard for what's forgivable. And if you do something and my standard is I don't forgive you, come on, amen. Yeah. Wow. Then I can cancel you because it's unforgivable in my eyes. Wow. But then when it happens to you, the standard goes down to here. Why doesn't everybody forgive me? I'm not perfect. I already make mistakes. Why don't they forgive me? I don't understand how there's no love. And you lowered the standard for yourself, but you still keep it up here for others. That's what happens when you're your own standard bearer. Whenever it's difficult, you lower it to fit where you're at. I think this should be okay. I just feel it's wrong. And so you lower that standard and you don't look for the proper standard. And so there cannot be a true forming of Christ in you if Christ is not your standard bearer. Yeah. The standard comes from the grace of God. He begins to show us this is not okay. Your standards are too low in this area. He begins to bring conviction by that grace when you start to say, wow, that was a harsh response. It was unreasonable. So I don't give myself a break. I say, I was guilty. This is wrong. I need to be better. I need to come to God and I need more grace in this area. I need his power to help bring me up to his standard. Come on, amen? That is what reconciliation does. That is what confirmation does, right? We're being conformed, being brought to this place. And in that process, God releases the grace to conform us to the image of Christ. So we begin to look and act. We begin to think like, what, not just what would Jesus do? Come on, amen. But let me do what Jesus do. Brings us to this fourth thing. It's very powerful, right? The grace of maturation. The grace to mature. It's funny. I was in the back and we were talking with Ariana. She helps with the slides. And she's like, Pastor Troy, you said maturation. Isn't it more maturation? You said, isn't it mature maturation? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm from the South. Come on, amen. We still say ambulance. Refrigerator. No, it's refrigerator. No, it's refrigerator. Get out the refrigerator. So bear with me, okay? It is maturation. Come on, amen. The grace of maturation is found in John 1:12. All right, are you here? Yes. And it says this, in John 1:12, it says, as many as received him, how many of y'all received him? Yes. Come on. Yes. To them, he gave the power, the grace, to become the sons of God. Now, he didn't just say sons, because we have another series in the archives y'all should look up if you haven't heard it. It's the five levels of sonship. And so the grace of maturation is there to take you from being a nepios, which is a child, baby, right? Paul said, I have to feed you with milk because you're children and you can't endure strong meat or you can't chew the meat. Come on, amen? You can't give a baby, you know, a huge piece of steak. They ain't got the teeth. Come on, amen. Yeah. Get to dig it out their mouth, you know, it'll choke them, right? And so that's what happens when you're immature. You choke on things that you should be able to digest. And so you hear a word, and it makes you upset. Yeah. And you don't stop to think that, oh, it's the word of God, and it's working on me. The word of God is the grace of God. So as I'm hearing a word, and it's making me upset, and it's making me, the problem isn't, oh, the problem is that you can't endure the strength of that word. And this is when we say, God, give me the grace to walk in this. My goodness, if you're not in a church where you're hearing things that are making you upset, you're in the wrong church. Wow. You're not listening to the word of God. It's guys, come on now. It's designed to do that. To pull you out, the grace of God, out of the comfort of your lackadaisical Christianity. And it says, oh, the Lord is full of mercy and grace. But no transformations take. It's still the same struggles, the same lack of understanding purpose, the same. The grace of God has not come because the grace comes through his word. And so the word comes and maturity comes because that grace is pulling us up higher all the time. Nepio, son, that's a word for child of God. This is where we get nappy, you know, diapers. Come on, amen. Yeah. So I don't want to be a grown man in diapers. Someone's having to change me. Come on, amen, all the time. And this is what it means to be a nepio son. Don't go around telling folks you're a child of God. You want to be a man of God, a woman of God. That's what people say. Oh, we're all children of God. I ain't. I want to move up. Come on, amen. I don't want to mature. I don't want to be a child. You don't give the keys to the kingdom to a child. So the idea here is there's grace that God releases. There is no reason for us to be in the same position we were in a year ago. In our soul, in our heart, in our brokenness, in any area of our life, because the God has released his power for us to mature. From Napios to Technon, which is a teenager. Come on, amen. This is you being a teenager. You have all the power. You can cast out devils, but you only use it for yourself because you're selfish. Wow. Every revelation of the Bible is about you. Look what God showed me about myself, that I'm a powerful person, but it's never about the kingdom. It's only about you. Wow. Never about building his house or building others. It's always about you, your gifts, your callings, and your manifestation of your destiny. And it's never ever comes into about the being about the body of Christ. Yeah. That's Technon, son. You got all the gifts from God, but you still don't have the heart of your father. But then there's a weos, and this is what this scripture is saying, that God has given us the grace to be the weothesius of God. The weothesius is like you're in college, you do a thesis, right? This is supposed to sum up some knowledge of what you learned is in your master's thesis, right? So when we're walking around, people are supposed to go, this is a sum total of what God does in a person's life. Look at this person. This is who God is. I see you. I've seen Christ. The weothesius is what God gives us the grace to become. Right? Amen. Now, listen to this now. God's central characteristic that motivates everything that he does is his love. So if we're going to be like him, we've got to be about that father's love. Come on, amen. Let's see what it looks like here. Come on, amen. Look at this in the book of John. Come on. Verse 13, I'm sorry, John 13, verse 34, 35, we're going to read. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Oh, isn't that sweet? Right? Yeah, Pastor, we love one another. Amen. And so that's what we do. We try to love one another. Let me ask you a question. Is that working? Just go out on the roads out here. Just turn on your TV. I'm not talking about believers. I'm talking about believers right now. Can't even let someone have an opinion different from us, and we feel like we must bring them down. Go through my Instagram, and I see all these little young preachers attacking men of God about some nuance of their doctrine and how it's wrong and evil, and they must be stopped. And I'm like, y'all don't get this. And so what does God do? He gives us a standard here in John. And he says this, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, that you shall also love one another. Come on. This is the standard. Now, what was that love? What did that love look like? Jesus says, a new commandment I give you. This is the standard of maturity. We don't understand maturity very well. We think maturity is Bible knowledge. church attendance. I've been a Christian 35 years. You just got saved. You're a baby Christian. And they think it's Bible knowledge. I know more than you. I can exercise the scriptures. I know my exegesis, and I know I'm trained. I went to Bible college, seminary, phonology, and all these things that people think are the equilibrium of how God looks at you as mature. And I'm telling you, you're wrong. You're 100% wrong. You know how I know you're wrong? Because I've seen well-educated men of God lose everything. They know better. Come on, amen. So it's not Bible knowledge. It's this bar, come on, that Jesus sets. That he says, love one another the way that I have loved you. Now, how did he love us? Listen, this is how he loved us. While we were all sinners and we were his enemies and we were actively coming against him and we were defiling him, we were rebellious. Not only were we rebellious, but we were actively killed his son who he sent for us. Now, our sin killed him, but when you look at the scriptures, the Bible says it was for jealousy's sake that he was killed. Oh, wow. That means the men in that time saw that Jesus was taking away their honor. Wow. So petty. And they say, we must stop him because he's making us look bad. Huh. And so that's why the people killed him. Wow. Come on, amen. Amen. And all the time, God said, I'm doing this because I love you, and I'm loving people who don't love me back, who are not just not loving me back, but they're actively working against me. That's another level. So this is the analogy that I'll give us, okay? Come on, listen now. You ever been to a track meet, right? You've seen the Olympics on TV. You'll see two events, right? And if you got that slide, put it up. The first one is the high jump. Come on, right? The high jump. The high jump is when a person comes running along and the bar is set there and they, under the strength of their own legs, come on, amen, they jump over this bar and everyone goes, ho, ho, hallelujah. And then they jump on the mat and they're like, I did it, I did it, I did it, I did it, I did it. But the pole vaulter is a little different. Now, when you see him, the pole is much higher. Amen. And there ain't no way he can run along. He could train for 100 years and he ain't getting over that bar. He needs the pole. Because it's too high for him. It's unattainable. Come on, amen. It doesn't matter how long hard he prays or what he does. He has to say, I'm going to put my trust in the grace of this pole to get me over this impossibly high mark that I cannot get. You think you can love people on your own ability? And so instead of taking the pole, we just say, I'm going to cut that person off. Toxic to me. I'm not going to try to love people. I'm not going to try to love unreasonable people. As soon as someone's unreasonable, the bar, we can't jump over that anymore. Come on, amen. Yeah. So we say things like this. I guess God is showing me that that this person doesn't belong in my life anymore because they offended you. Come on now, amen. Things happen in our life, and we have to forgive people. The bar is set very high for forgiveness. There is no way you can come running along and jump over it yourself. You have to have the grace of your Father. You need help to give that kind of forgiveness to people. If you're trying in your own ability, we had a great conversation in between services with Dwayne, and he was saying, yeah, Pastor Trush. He goes, well, I knew there was things in my life, he said. And I said, yeah, brother, we all got them, right? Until we keep pushing them down and thinking, we have forgiven them until they prosper. And then you're like, Lord, why? Don't you know what they are? Don't you know what they've done? And then your heart gets exposed. Yeah. Because you don't want them to succeed. You want them to fail. So you look right. And this is the standard the world sets. This is why we can't conform to that standard. We can't set our own. The Bible says that we love the unlovable people who are actively against us. I don't know how to do that. Do y'all?
Yeah. No.
How? In my own ability, I cannot forgive the level that Christ commands me to. Yeah. I need his grace. Yeah. Power that I'm already swimming in if I will let it take hold of my heart.
Wow.
I can do it. Mm-hmm. I need the pull, though. Come on, amen. That's too high. Come on, amen. But that's the standard. It's not yours.
Yeah.
Don't look at that and go, oh, well, they're right for leaving them. They're right for doing this. You don't know that God is not in heaven going, well done. God is saying, I gave you a commandment. It's hard to follow it, but the world is watching us and saying, you're no different. You have the same standard the world has for forgiveness, for love. And I've given you power to get over it. To rise to a level of love and that you can release people. Not everybody needs to be in your orbit. Come on, if they're crazy, come on, amen. God loves you too, amen. But they still are deserving of your prayers and of your love. Maybe from a distance, come on, amen. But they're still deserving of your blessing. The bar is high because this is the last grace God wants to give to us. And it's the grace of perfect or exact representation. Listen, this is what Jesus carried, okay? He had this grace on his life, the grace of exact representation, okay? We see this in Luke chapter 3, verse 22, when he's being baptized by John the Baptist, right? In the wilderness, and the Bible says the heavens open, and the Holy Ghost descended upon in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved son who I'm well pleased. What was God saying? God was saying, listen to him. This is my beloved son who I'm well pleased. He's walking in the fullness of my grace, right? And so because he's manifesting my heart in the earth, you should listen to him. This is what we want as believers. This is the ultimate level of the grace of God walking in our life. When God endorses you and gives you the ability to influence and reset mindsets. And people listen because they see your heart. Right? And we're arguing. Oh my God. We argue. We're fighting. We're releasing facts. Come on, amen. Right? People are emotional. And how do we answer their emotion? Facts. And God's saying, I need you to be an exact representation of me. How can we know what that is unless we've let the other graces work on us? When we let the grace of God have full reign in our life,
yeah,
and the power of God, I'm saying, come on, and to change us, transform us, conform us, to really save us out and in. Come on, amen. And all these things become part of who we are. Right? It's not what we do. It's who we are. Because you can act right all you want, right? But that don't mean you're right. Because when the heat is on, then we see who we are in our heart. And we see it, and then we cannot run from it. We must say, God, give us grace to change it. Grace of exact representation. Now listen, you don't hear anything else, you got to hear this now. That means the Father living through us, right? He's manifesting his character, his goodness, his kindness, his mercy is what, when people think about you, is that what they think about? That's the fullness of the grace of God working in your life. When they say, listen, I have not met Jesus, but I met you. And if he's anything like you, come on, I want to know him. Amen. That's the goal. Now, what is our goal many times? To be more gifted. To be more polished as a speaker or a minister, or to be more knowledgeable so that we can tell people what the Bible says about them and how they're missing it. But the grace of exact representation is that, like Jesus, if you've seen me, Jesus says, you've seen the Father.
Yes.
That's the grace of exact representation.
Yeah.
There's this meme floating around right now. It's very true. It says, if people hate you or God because of, if you, people hate Jesus, right? Come on. Because of you as a Christian. But if people hate Jesus because of you, that's a problem. Come on, amen. Yeah. How many people don't like God because of us? Amen. Because of our representation. Now, here's the big part. How do we access this grace, right? We're in it. We're swimming in it. Why aren't we walking in these graces? And I'm talking to myself right now because this is the kicker. Come on. If you don't hear anything else, you got to hear this today, all right? Galatians 2, 21. Listen to this. Paul saying this to the Corinthian church because, listen, or to the Galatian church. Galatian church was one of these churches that came up very quickly, grew fast, lots of power, gifts, things working in it. And then all of a sudden, these false teachers came in, and Paul said, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you don't believe the truth anymore, right? So some guy came into the church and started saying weird stuff about, you know, there's 9 Holy Spirits and 4 Jesuses. Come on, amen. And that you can worship this God and Jesus at the same time. And so Paul said, he didn't say what bewitched you, right? It wasn't some witch out in the front lawn with a bag of bones. Come on, amen. He said, who? It's always who. Always who. You see someone backslide, don't ask what happened, ask who happened. And so Paul says that you guys have got all this going for you, all this knowledge, all this understanding, but he says you guys are missing it. And he says, I do not frustrate or flustrate, whichever one you want to use. I'm from the South, so I say flustrate. Amen. I put an L in there that don't belong. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. That means that you and your ability, your legalism, cannot save you. And the word frustrate in the Greek is the word means to take something, come on, amen, and set it aside or to slap it away. So the grace of God comes to our life. And in our pride, we say, thank you, Lord. But I'm going to try it my way again. I know this has failed over and over again, and my pride won't let me bend the knee and take your grace and acknowledge that I am not enough, that I cannot do this on my own. That everything is not going to be okay if I just keep at it, but that I must humble myself under the hand of God and say, this problem, the bar is too high, I can't get over it. I can't forgive, I can't let go, I can't overcome. I'm struggling in my self-esteem because I'm not conformed. I'm struggling in my identity because I'm not reconciled. I don't know who I am. I don't know my place, and I'll just keep struggling. And I just keep taking it and putting it aside, taking it and putting it aside. And if you force it on me, I'm going to say, that can't be the Lord. Get that away from me. But the grace of God comes to us in these ways that we sometimes want it to come as mercy, but it's grace, it's power. And don't be mistaken. The reason we don't walk in it is for one reason and one reason only, our personal pride. That says, I know better than you, God. Yeah. Yeah. And I will not bend the knee. Wow. Paul said, I'm not like y'all. I will not frustrate the grace of God. I will not put it aside and keep choosing my own methods and my own ways and legalism to deal with what's going on in my life. I will bend the knee and I will acknowledge the bar is too high. The standard is too high. I cannot live up to it. I am failing. I am miserably failing. I am not reconciled. I am not conformed. I am not walking in the grace of salvation. I'm still struggling with my salvation. I don't know if I'm really a Christian fully or not because I've not come out and come in, and I need the grace of God in my life. I bend the knee and I humble myself. Bible says God gives grace to the humble, but listen, he resists the proud. And that word resist doesn't mean he turns his back on you. It just means that he will not help you anymore to keep destroying your own life with your own methods. He just let you be. Come on, amen. Pride is keeping us. We're swimming in a sea of grace. It's all around us to change and transform our lives, guys. But at times we must acknowledge that it is our law. We're still living under the jurisdiction of the kingdom of darkness. The laws are still speaking to us. And that law says, do what you want. Do it your way. You know, do it kind of like God, but do it also mix yourself in there. Be wise in your own eyes. You can't expect me to be just let people walk all over me. Lord, yes, you do. God says, be a bridge. Bridges get walked on. Amen. This is difficult stuff. Come on, amen. There's no way you can live this standard of Christianity without the grace of God. But make no mistake about it. God has called us up to this level for the coming times in the body of Christ. What's coming is going to require every one of us to walk in a high level of the grace of God. We cannot win arguments with science. Come on, amen. No one cares. Have you figured that out? No one cares about the facts and the truth anymore. They're not moved by it. They don't care if you're right. You could be right and they still don't care. Because they're not looking for that. They're looking for the manifestation of the we are sons of God. That's what turns hearts. Can't understand how you can love me. I don't understand how you forgive me. I don't understand how you walk in this level of kindness and joy when there's so much wrong being done to you and you're walking in love with people. We think it's stupid that I think you're dumb, but you don't understand. It's the heart of the Father. Come on, amen. Come on, stand up with me now. Let me tell you this last quick story as we pray. A friend of mine was training to be a pilot. And so he said, I want the best instructor. And the guy said, you don't want the best instructor. Let me give you this other prayer. No. He goes, I want to be the best pilot, so I want the best instructor. He's like, well, you're okay, but you can't get no refund once you get with this guy. So here comes this old guy, you know, with his glasses on his nose, he said, you know. Didn't even look at him. He's like, you saw him? So? Yeah, get in the plane. He's like, oh, that sounds harsh. So the guy gets into the plane, and this instructor was just ruthless. If he would miss one thing on the checklist, he'd make him walk back to his car and start over. Get back in your car. You're not ready to fly today. Come back when you get ready to fly. And so he get in his car, get back in his car. If he missed one thing on the checklist. And so finally he's like, I'm not going to let this guy break me. And he goes, I'm going to go through this. And he went through it, got his pilot's license. And so he was flying from somewhere in Texas to another part of Texas. And this big windstorm came out of nowhere. And he had a little, you know, single engine plane. And so it was just, the plane was just turning over and he was having to keep riding. It was just a battle. And he's just in the cockpit and he's like, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. And then he says, that guy I sent you was my grace. I need your grace. He says, that guy I sent you is your grace. He says, and as soon as he heard that voice, it was like that old guy was sitting next to him and he was saying, do this, do that, turn this and turn that. And so he said, all that training and that intensity that he went through made him into who he was as a pilot. And he says, and he landed that plane, he got done, he called that guy up and he says, thank you for being so hard on me. I didn't get it, but you saved my life. And the difficult things we have to overcome in our life that require us to be humble, submit to God. That's the grace of God working in our life when we do that. I can't be the wife I need. I can't be the husband to Anwin that I need. I can't be the father to Ari, Amina, and Reagan that they need without the grace of God. Come on, amen. I'm a pretty good guy. Come on, that's what y'all are saying, right? I'm a pretty good guy until I'm not. Amen. Until I come to the end of my strength and my ability and I need God. I need his grace and I bend the knee. Amen. Come on, lift your hands all over the room. Father, I pray. I wish I could lay hands, but I can't impart grace because you already have it. It's already in your life. But will you take it tonight or this afternoon or will you set it aside again and say, I'm just going to keep doing it my way. I'm going to keep making people do what I want them. I'm keep manipulating. I'm going to keep doing stuff in my own ability. I'm going to keep the pride that's been locked up in my heart. But right now, Lord, we have this ability to humble ourselves and say, Lord, we're failing. Lord, we need your help. We need your power. We need the pull. We can't get over this bar. And every one of us knows the area of our life we're struggling the most in right now. Maybe with your identity, maybe with brokenness. Maybe you've tried everything. You've prayed until you can't pray anymore. And now the only thing left is to humble yourself and say, God, I need the grace. Yes. However you want to bring it. Yes. I need the grace of maturation. I need the grace of confirmation. I need the grace, God. Of salvation. I'm not fully in. I'm still struggling. Yes. Change my lifestyle. Live a life that's pleasing to you. So Lord, thank you for the grace of God. That we are saved by it. You're not able to just save us, but you keep us, God, by the grace of God. And we give you all the praise, Lord, for the grace that you've released into our life. Because we're in you. We're not struggling for it. We just need to bend the knee. So we do that right now. I sense by the Holy Spirit, there are several people in here that are struggling with forgiving things that have happened to you. And you have set the bar in a way that says it's not possible to forgive them. So I'm going to just carry this now. But it's destroying you from the inside out. Unforgiveness is a sin. No matter how justified we feel about it, it's still a sin. And I'm here to challenge you by the grace of God that you cannot forgive that parent, that boyfriend, that rapist. You can't forgive that father. You can't forgive that teacher, that uncle, aunt. You can't forgive that former boss or that former pastor in your own ability. But you are not allowed to say that it's not something you can overcome. You just need the pull. Grace of God. And God today wants to release you from that pain of the past. Wants to release you from the stagnated position we found ourselves in because we cannot move past the grace or past the forgiveness or past the thing that has happened to us that we can't overcome in our own ability. Some of you are struggling with addiction in here. Some people are struggling with different types of sin in our life. Every one of us is on some level. And how do we overcome? By the grace of God. Power of God will get us over that hump. Get us to the next level. Reconcile us into a new level in God. Father, thank you that you are not lacking in grace for us. Come on, you can feel it being released. It's like a hand coming behind your back, pushing you up, lifting your head right now, giving fresh hope that things can turn around inside of you. That you can be reconciled and restored to your proper place. Thank you, God. This grace comes from a loving Father into our life in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. Come on, just hang out for a few more seconds here. The Lord's voice is moving, and I don't want to pull people out of that yet, but God's speaking. He's exposing things only to us, so there's no shame, but he's exposing it to you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. It's the presence of the Father you're feeling right now, you're sensing. It's not the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's not the presence of Jesus, even though they're all here too. Amen. But there's a reason why God chose to manifest in three forms, because sometimes you need the power of the Holy Spirit, sometimes you need the presence of God, the presence of Jesus, and sometimes you need the warmth of your Father letting you know that he has not given up on you, but that there is power for you, there's grace for you, and mercy, come on, amen, but the grace of God to transform our lives is here. Thank you, Jesus. Touch that anger. Come on, I sense it. Some folks are so angry because they've been hurt and they can't overcome the hurt anymore on their own, so the anger's coming. Lord, thank you for the grace of God coming to them. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. I gotta say this. I just only shared this with my wife, and I felt the Holy Spirit just, you know, very much asked me to share this. You know, I was with my dad, and it's been 2 years because of the pandemic. I haven't been around him, and so we got done with dinner, came home, and I remember just sitting talking, just, you know, cutting it up, and my dad, as I got up to leave, he says, "I need to tell you something," and I said, "Okay, sure, Dad, what's going on?" He says, "I just want to let you know that I'm so proud of you," and listen, not once has he ever said that. Not once. And he apologized. And he said, "You know, I always thought you became a preacher because you didn't want to work hard." He says, "But now I see it's God and what you've been able to do." And he says, I was looking at things on Facebook, you know. He goes, his wife is, my stepmom's on Facebook. And so she's always showing him, "Look at what Troy did. Look where Troy's at." And he says, "When you went to the Ukraine," he says, "I said, there's something, this is my boy's doing this." I said, "Why?" He couldn't get his head around it. And he says, "Because God must be sending him." And he says, "I'm so proud of you." And I went back to my room, and I got all weepy, and I didn't understand why. And I thought, I've forgiven him. I didn't need an apology. Come on, amen. But man, it went deeper than I even understood. And God was like, "See, I just wanted to show you. I needed, still, there was another layer. Even though I've forgiven and I've loved him, I've told him I forgive him, everything that's gone wrong, there was still another layer that in my own ability I could never get over. But the grace of God came in." Never felt that much love for my dad in my entire life. Didn't want to leave. And we love each other. We're not like that. Come on, amen. That's the grace of God. It'll expose, but it'll give you the power, come on, to overcome. That's what God wants to do for all of us. Father, thank you one more time. Come on. For your goodness and for your mercy. But Lord, more than that, we thank you that we're swimming in a sea of grace. We're not lacking in the power of God that changed our lives, God, to be conformed and transformed, Lord, to be an exact representation of you, God. There's grace for that. We can live up to you, Lord. We can live up to the standard you set for us, God. Only by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a good clap in here.